As Guy said, my name is Sally. I'm Sally Clark. I'm from the Chichester site. I'm here with my husband, Andy Clark. He's one of the site leaders in Chichester, and we've got our two children here this morning as well. So, greetings from Chichester. Right, we got everything in place. Okie dokie. So, there's many things that I love about my husband, Andy. You'll be pleased to know. And one of them is watching his face as one of those adverts comes on TV where women start talking about issues to do with bladder incontinence and bladder weakness. And he just can't handle it. It's just too much for him. And that's despite Always Discreet's latest campaign, We Need to Talk, which is about being more open and honest about bladder weakness and such the like. But as far as Andy's concerned, it's just too much honesty. And this morning, we're going to be talking not about bladder weakness. Many of you will be relieved to know. Hey. But we're going to be talking about honesty. And honesty with God. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 88. It's a really honest psalm. It's a raw, unbridled release of kind of deep, sorrowful anguish to God. So it's really going to lighten the mood. The heading of the psalm describes it as an instructive psalm, and it's here to teach us. And I believe this morning God wants to teach us through this psalm about how and why we need to be honest with God. So I've titled this talk Being Honest with God, obviously. Now, the psalm's pretty bleak. Most psalms that have a bleakness in them kind of rise to a hopeful expectation at the end or regularly throughout. But Psalm 88 doesn't do that. It stays within the experience of the psalmist at that time. And I think that can be true to life, because sometimes you can be so consumed with a situation that you can't see the way ahead. It's too painful and it's too dismissive of your current pain to try and look further ahead. In amongst the heading as well, the psalm is titled Afflictive Sickness or Song of Affliction. And although there's not much to indicate in the psalm what the psalmist has been afflicted with, many commentaries kind of point towards maybe a depressive illness or a depressive state. But let's read the psalm. I think Lou's going to click through for me on the PowerPoint, so I can't do more than one thing. Okay. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. Woo. So that's pretty real, pretty raw, and pretty honest. So let's have a look through the psalm and see what we can learn about being honest with God. So first off, where do you begin when you need to be honest with God? Well, the psalmist begins with truth. He begins with who God is. He says, Lord, you are the God who saves me. The psalmist wants to pour out his heart to God, and he probably knows it's about to get bleak. And almost in the same way someone might set their hook into a rock before abseiling down into a cave, he sets the truth out first. It says, Lord. So that's submission to God. He's not haughty or demanding, thinking that he knows better. He's still in submission and accepts God as his Lord. And it says, the God who saves me. He knows the truth that God is in a personal relationship with him and saves him. His salvation comes from God. He's not rejecting God. His hope is still in him, but he's in turmoil and anguish, and his feelings are troubling him. Truth is the anchor when he needs to open up to God. And it goes on. He then moves in verse 3 to where his heart is at. He begins where his heart's at. I am overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. He's straight in with this. This is where I am. This is how I'm feeling. Have you ever sat down to pray and it's just not happening? And you thought, I need to read my Bible, and you can find a million other things that need doing. And maybe the thought of spending any time with God just kind of makes you feel maybe burdened. Have you ever told God that? Have you ever started exactly where you're at? God, I feel like I don't want to read my Bible this morning. And I don't know what's going on, but that's where I am. If that's where you are in your heart, then that's where you need to start with God. If you feel angry about something, tell him that you feel angry. Find a way to share exactly what is going on in your heart. God knows that you feel these things. He knows exactly how you're feeling and why. You're not telling him anything new, but what you are doing is sharing it and allowing God in. And he goes on to share, I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. Now, the fact that the psalmist is able to speak to God like this, to share stuff like this, actually demonstrates the closeness and the intimacy of the relationship. The whole psalm is a pouring out of anguish and pain in the psalmist's heart, and you don't do that with just anyone. Say you were like a shop assistant in a shop, and a customer comes in and you say politely, hello, how can I help you? And the customer says to you, my soul is close to death. I feel like my life is over. There is nothing good in my life anymore. All my friends have cut me off and I'm always alone. That would kind of probably feel inappropriate. And that's because the relationship between you as the shop assistant and the customer, who's basically a stranger, is not a relational context in which you would normally share that kind of information. So where is it appropriate? Between close friends? Between family? A parent and a child? Where there's commitment between the two people in the relationship, or one if it's a parent and a child, to stand with each other through hard times and the good. The psalmist talks to God like this. He talks to someone who believes that God cares deeply about him. He's able to be honest and raw because he knows that God cares for him. And God is committed to walking through this time and walking it through with him. At the beginning, the psalmist acknowledges God as his saviour and knows that his salvation comes from him. But that doesn't stop him saying, I'm like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who's cut off from your care. He knows his salvation comes from God. He knows that's the truth. But he doesn't feel like that at the moment. And that's okay to share. It doesn't stop him telling God that it doesn't feel like that at the moment. He trusts that although he feels something that technically isn't true and doesn't line up with truth, he doesn't worry that God will be offended by that. He can be honest with God and trust God to respond in a loving way. He can trust God to receive his heartfelt, raw prayers, and he doesn't dress them up either. If you have doubts and fears, it's not unchristian to tell God your doubts and your fears and to have them. Share them with God because you can trust him. And it is hard being honest sometimes. And sometimes, in our normal everyday relationships with each other, we can worry that being honest may upset the other person. You might offend them. And I remember when I was 6 years old, around 6 years old, whenever we used to go and visit my nan and my granddad, my nan would make me a cup of tea with about 6 sugars in it. And she was, I knew that she loved doing that because she thought she was giving me something that I wasn't allowed. And it was a treat. And I really loved it. And so I could see that it meant something to her. But I said to my mum on a trip over there once, like, I don't like tea with 6 sugars in it. It's, blah. And my mum said, well, you need to tell your nan that because I can tell her, but she won't listen to me. So you need to tell her. And I was like, oh. And I just couldn't. I couldn't tell her. So here I am, 5 fillings and 1 tooth extraction later. Now, being honest with someone about how you feel, even when you know it might upset them, to know your true feelings is actually a real relationship. And it's the kind of relationship we can be in with God. We don't need to worry that he might be upset or offended by what we feel. Just share it. He's big enough. So you can and should be honest with God because you are in a relationship with him, an intimate, committed relationship. Now, the psalmist moves on through the psalm to say that he basically believes that God is to blame for his situation. And again, he's saying exactly what he feels in his heart. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. But again, he's sharing his heart. He's confessing how he feels to God. God might have actually done this, or he might not. But either way, the psalmist feels that it is God's responsibility, the situation that he's in. It's a you've done this to me. And again, God is big enough to take the times when we blame him for things. It's actually, when I was preparing, it reminded me of when we look in John's gospel and the story of Lazarus, and when he dies and Jesus goes and does raise him from the dead. But there's a delay and Jesus doesn't get there in time and Lazarus dies. And his sisters, Lazarus's sisters, who have called for Jesus and want Jesus to come, when Jesus does finally get there, Martha rushes out to him and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And her sister Mary says something similar as well. They blame Jesus that if you had been here, this would not have happened. And actually, Jesus' response is he doesn't get angry and say, what are you accusing me of? How dare you accuse me of not loving you? And or anything like that. He responds in love. It says in the scripture that he was deeply moved, that he wept, that he had compassion on them. You know, God is rarely to blame for much of our pain, if we're really honest. But that doesn't stop us blaming him. But he loves you so much that he is able to accept that that is where you are at. That is where your heart is at, and he has compassion on you. What a loving, awesome Heavenly Father we have. We don't need to get ourselves to an acceptable place before we can approach him. You don't only need to bring the feelings that you think are pleasing to God. You bring it all, including if you blame him for your situation. Psalm 88 is raw, painful, and tortured as the psalmist pours out what's in his soul. But in doing so, he's modeling that close, intimate relationship with his Father that we can all experience. As the psalm goes on, just checking where I am. As the psalm goes on, there are bits through the psalm where actually, despite his pain and anguish that he's telling us about, despite his suffering of his situation and his sorrow, he's actually still persistent in his prayers to God. Verse 9 says, I call to you, O Lord, every day. And elsewhere in the psalm it says, day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. And also, but I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. He prays day and night, every day and every morning. He is persistent with God. And when he's faced with this, you know, if we are faced with such a bleak situation, how many of us commit to praying this much before we give up? I think his persistence in prayer has a lot to do with his honesty. And if his prayers are anything like this psalm, I almost imagine he'll be sharing his innermost thoughts with God, that his soul fills up with anguish, and then he pours it all out to God in prayer. And so this, coupled with holding on to truth, keeps him going in his prayers. Let your pain be the catalyst by which you throw yourself back onto God. Use your honesty to bring you back into prayers and bring the situation before God. So the psalmist has been pouring out his pain and his anguish, and we've seen that. And he then moves to initially what appears to be a despairing rant. He says, do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave? But actually, what the psalmist is doing here is declaring some very hopeful truths about God. That God performs wonders, that he is loving, that he is righteous, that he is faithful. And we might initially read it as a despairing rant, but his petition is actually that if God doesn't intervene in his life with these truths that the psalmist knows to be true, then it will be too late and these things won't be able to be displayed in the psalmist's life as a testimony to God. He's actually reminding himself of truths about God's character and who he is and the things that he can do. So when being honest with God, in our honesty with God, we must also remember the truth that is unchanging despite our circumstances. And the psalmist ends still exactly where he is in his heart. He ends, you've taken me from my friend and neighbour. Darkness is my closest friend. You know, the psalmist teaches us that worship to God is being exactly what God created you to be. And that's in an intimate, loving, committed relationship with him. And that relationship allows for complete honesty. And you might not be in such a bleak place, but there are areas in our lives where we all need to start being a bit more honest with God. And I remember the first time that I did this. And I was standing in my bedroom. I remember the exact place that I was. And I was working through some quite painful memories that I kind of bottled up and pushed down. And I pushed them down so much that actually I couldn't feel anything about them anymore. And God was bringing them to the surface for me to feel, so that then he could heal me of it. But I was scared because the emotions were quite overwhelming. And I kept kind of backing off from God. And I was frustrated because I was thinking, oh, I don't want to pray. I don't want to read my Bible. I can't go there. And I thought, well, let's start there then. And so I said to God exactly what I was feeling. I said, I don't know if I can trust you with this, God. I knew the truth, and I knew that he is a trustworthy God, but it was how I was feeling. I don't know if I can trust you with this, God. If I let you do this, if I let you in, you might let me down. I might get crushed by what I'm feeling. You might leave me. You might not make this okay in the end. I'm scared to trust you. I'm scared to let go and allow you to do this. You might do something that's too much for me. Every feeling, no matter if it aligned with God's truth or not, I spoke out until I felt like I'd expressed it all. And that evening, I had a text from somebody in the church from a different site who I hadn't even seen for ages. And she sent me some Bible verses. And I'll read you some of it. And it was Isaiah 41. It says, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And later it says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And it just felt like an answer to my honest prayer earlier that day. And it was amazing that God, in his tremendous grace and mercy, answered me directly. You know, my father responded to me as his child. And I felt like I'd taken quite a step of faith, opening up exactly where I was at. But God rushed straight to me and met me exactly where I was. And this is relationship in action. You know, you share honest, real stuff that matters to you, and God responds to you. What have you been hiding from God? And what have you been sweeping under the carpet to make the kind of house in your heart look presentable to God? He knows it's there, and he wants to free you of it. So the psalmist has been honest here with God through sung musical worship. And for you to be honest with God, you might need to find a different way to do it. Music and singing is great, but practically you can find other different ways to help you as well. You can do it through writing a journal to God. You can do it through art. You can do it through dance. Lots of different ways, but find your way. Find what helps you be honest with God, and then do it. Just a little point of warning. Sharing what's in our hearts with our Heavenly Father is important in our intimate relationship with him. But we must be careful not to get then lost in those emotions. Your emotions are not the same as truth. They're not equal to God's word in weight. So although feelings and emotions are valid, we don't wallow in them relentlessly rather than seeking God's truth. But we also don't dismiss how we're feeling or ignore it just because it doesn't line up with scripture or we don't think it's acceptable to God. Being honest with God, especially when we're feeling negative or painful emotions, is important in growing in intimacy with God and being healed and restored. So you might be at the place where you're like, yeah, okay, I'm being honest with God. I'm ready to be honest with God. I can be honest with God. But does he really know what I'm going through? Does he really know how hard this situation is? Well, there is someone for whom this psalm was very true to his experience, leading up to the day that he would die, knowing what he would have to go through as he hung on the cross, held there by your sin and mine, dying in anguish and experiencing the separation from his Father, with whom he had only felt perfect love and intimacy before. Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows how painful life can be. He has experienced humiliation, bullying, physical harm, emotional harm at the hands of others. He's known rejection and separation from his closest family. Consider the psalm that we've just read as I just read you a couple of bits from Isaiah 53. It's talking about Jesus. It's a prophecy about him. It says he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And it also says he was oppressed and afflicted. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. You know, it says in Hebrews, for this reason, it's not very easy to see, is it? Sorry. For this reason, he, that's Jesus, had to be made like his brothers, that's us, in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And Hebrews goes on to say, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. You know, Jesus is closer than you can ever imagine. Understanding completely why you feel the way you feel, because he has felt it too. Can I just get the band up at this point as we move to the end? God wants to be in a close, intimate relationship with his children in all seasons of their lives. And that relationship involves honesty. And this psalm teaches us how to praise and worship God in the midst of suffering and trials, and how to be honest with God, because it's vital to our relationship with him. The greatest solace is that this psalm also reflects Jesus' suffering. And so our source of strength and hope is able to sympathize and empathize in every way, because he has lived and experienced it himself. So let's all stand and let's move to worshiping this God who has done such amazing things for us, who's so close to you right now.